in her own sweet world, populated by dolls and clowns and a prince and a big purple bear.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Judith Bishop previews an exciting 10-day event, the Deering Estates Festival of the Arts, taking place February 14th through the 24th. Founder and director Lee Schrager shares his excitement about the upcoming 12th annual Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival, presented by Food and Wine. You are listening to the music of our first guest today, and in my humble opinion, he stands shoulder to shoulder with the vocal legends of the Great American Songbook. And I'm talking about Joe Williams, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Nat King Cole, Sarah Vaughan, and Tony Bennett, just to name a few. Our guest has performed in most of the great concert halls and clubs throughout the world: Lincoln Center, Town Hall, the Eugene O'Neill Theater, the Kennedy Center, the Dublin National Concert Hall, the Bitter End in Greenwich Village, and the legendary Algonquin, among many, many more. He has taken his marvelous music all over the world to Asia, Russia, the Umbria Jazz Festival in Italy, Sweden, Japan, Germany, Holland, and even sung his swingin' jazz in Turkey. A multiple award winner, he won the noted New York Nightlife Award for Outstanding Jazz Vocalist numerous times. He was a grant recipient from the prestigious organization Chamber Music America that led him to take his ambitious project, Cross That River, the story of a slave who escapes his Louisiana master and heads west to freedom to become a cowboy. He took that into schools and children's facilities throughout Harlem. The show later toured the country to rave reviews. He was here in Miami in 1987, where he formed his own production company, Love Productions, and won prestigious awards for his work in South Florida. He also released his first recording, Setting the Standard, that put him on a path of creating marvelous records and CDs, which now total 12. You might have seen him on BET or CNN's Showbiz Today, or heard him on NPR's All Things Considered, or D.D. Bridgewater's NPR program, Jazz Set. The New York Times called him, quote, one of the best male jazz vocalists of his genre, unquote. When Tony Bennett took him under his wing and sponsored a showcase for him at Tattoo in New York, the famous songwriter Sammy Kahn introduced Allen, saying, quote, Frank Sinatra says his favorite singer is Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett says his favorite singer is Alan Harris. And Alan Harris, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, I walked into the studio and saw your faces. We've known each other for so many years. It was like coming home, man.
Just a few.
Good
just
to see
few.
You, man.
And I'm so glad we have you and your lovely gal, Pat, here in South Florida, where you belong during this horrible blizzard going up.
I missed that
bullet,
didn't I?
That's it. Alan is in South Florida for three concerts that we'll have him performing from Delray Beach down to South Dade County. But before we get to that, let's go back, Alan, into your Miami history. And you remember this.
Oh, my God.
I'm handing Alan.
Oh, my goodness.
The PACE, Performing Arts for Community and Education Incorporated, Talent of the Year Award. And this is a little pamphlet where he was the guy in 1987 out of all the other jazz vocalists. And he was promoted, of course, by this wonderful former not-for-profit we had here in South Florida. And there's Alan. And,
oh, man, look at me.
Man,
like
you
a
look
child.
The same.
Yeah, well, sure I do.
The
right.
Same.
Sure I do. Sure I do. And they tell me that you're going to get LASIK surgery tomorrow, right, for your eyes.
He won the Southern Bell PACE Performing Artist Program and top honors for 1987, and PACE promoted him all throughout South Florida. So you had a lot of nice years here in South Florida. Tell us about the memories that linger.
Well, coming here just blew my mind because it was such a nice clash of that Caribbean country, Latin, and then thanks to you and a whole myriad of your peers, the jazz community here was so strong. Mm-hmm. I cut my teeth here, basically. I really did. I thought I knew a lot. But coming here just really set me on this path directly because I started to understand how not only to deliver a song, but just how to swing better because you had so many great cats here. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Do you remember the vocalists you saw when you first got here in the late 80s? You remember some of the vocalists we had down here? With Sandy Patton
here. Oh, Sandy Patton, Alice Day.
Alice Day.
Oh, my goodness.
You missed Elliot Lawrence. He was in for just a few years, a great
we became
actor.
We became friends.
Great
he
vocalist.
Was doing the Playboy Club. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I remember him. We did a couple shows together briefly. Oh, boy, I'm going blank here. There's so many wonderful cats that I...
But the scene was happening. We had a couple of great festivals. Pace had their Big Orange Festival in downtown Miami that was just explosive, bringing in acts from all over the world and whatnot. Now, you set up your first studio.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Track One. It was in a little warehouse off of Miami... Miami Gardens, I think it was.
Okay.
Miami Lakes, off of Miami Lakes.
All right.
And I was there with a partner of mine, Eddie Montilla, who's now doing rap. He just produced Chris Brown's record and Lil Wayne. Can you believe that?
I'm waiting for your rap CD.
Yeah, right. Rap this. Good thing you have a television here, huh? Right. I can't even pronounce my own name, let alone rap. And I have my own studio there, and we produced a few records with some different people. And I had some wonderful vocalists come in, Rita Quintera at the time.
Oh, Rita, yeah.
Juan Zacata.
Backed up the Miami Sound Machine.
Right,
there, yeah.
Right. Juan Zacata would come in and sing along with me.
Back when he was known as Juan.
What is he now?
John Zacata,
John
of course.
Zacata.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Nessa Torres would come in and lay some food down. You know, Ed Kaye, of course.
Ed Kaye.
And Jose George Casas.
Jorge Casas,
and this
right.
Before they were
great
Miami
bassist.
Sound Machine. You know, yeah. He's coming and we all just write songs together. And they did a few recordings with me. And the studio, I got to cut my teeth and learn how to really deliver a song over the airwaves, how to breathe, how to phrase, and just how to become a studio musician.
Now, you didn't go to a formal school down here.
I did. It was called the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, yes. You know, that's the School of the Street, sure.
The School of the Street, you know. You
that's
got up
necessary
on,
education.
That's right. You got up on stage and you got knocked down. That's how you learn.
Now, you went up to New York when?
Oh boy,
went back to New York.
Went back to 97, maybe.
Okay, and you started winning the Nightlife Awards for Outstanding Jazz Vocalist. That's more than a cabaret award? That's kind of like a...
They created their own little niche. It was a cabaret award, the Mac Award, and they needed a jazz
category. Yeah.
And I was the first recipient of it. Then I became the second. Then I became the third recipient of it. Now they have a whole category of jazz.
So down here, you released your first recording, correct me if I'm wrong, Setting the Standard, with some great names, Nestor Torres, Ed Kaye, the A-list for South Florida players. Then on your next release, It's a Wonderful World, you're playing in New York with the heavyweights.
Oh, my God.
What
a
transition for you. Ray Brown, Benny Green, Jeff Clayton. Oh, my gosh.
Claudio Roditi.
Doing the music of... Louis Armstrong, who once babysat you.
He did.
Oh, my gosh.
He did. Well, my aunt, just to back up, my aunt had one of my aunts, Kate, had a soul food restaurant down the street from the Apollo. If you have the record, Jimmy Smith, Home Cooking, he's standing in front of her restaurant, Home Cooking. And every Sunday, I'd go to the matinee. My mother would take me to the matinee. And back in those days, you had to dress proper. You know, you had to pull your pants up, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And after the matinee, we'd go eat there at her restaurant and everyone would be in there. So she was befriended by all these people. Louis used to come to the house. Every one time, he babysat me. Basically, he just sat around and waited for him to come back into the parlor and I was there.
Okay.
And I was scared to death of him because I thought it was a big black frog. Come here, kid. When you're 7 years old, 8 years old, you know, Louis was pretty... Little I know who he was at the time. He was just a guest at the house, you know.
Well, thank goodness it wasn't Dizzy. I mean, if he blew up his cheeks, you would have run out the back door.
Tell me about it. I used to see him at the Apollo Theater perform all the time.
Wow, what an experience. You grew up in quite a musical family, so this is your destiny, man, I tell you. And a dozen recordings, such great recordings. Here comes Alan Harris with a Metropole Orchestra, one of Europe's finest orchestras. On subsequent recordings, you've done the music of Duke Ellington, Duke Ellington's sacred music.
Billy Strayhorn.
Your Billy Strayhorn release is magnificent. And your current one is called Convergence with... Takana Miyamoto, and it's kind of as a dedication to the wonderful Bill Evans, Tony Bennett.
It's a blatant dedication. Let's just see. Let's cut to the quick. I grew up, as most vocalists I feel who are jazz, who cut their teeth, if they do not have those two recordings of Evans and Bennett in the discography, something's wrong with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You should have it. As a jazz vocalist, you have to have this.
And incredible two records, I believe, on Tony's own label, Improv.
Right.
And he gave you permission and, you know, blessed your reworking of
the
stuff.
I'm gonna tell a little white lie here. Yes, he did give my blessing after the fact. My wife and manager said, you need to do this record. I said,
bless you, Pat.
Yeah, I said, you know, this is like you're going into hollow ground here.
Yeah.
I said, you know, Tony, he wouldn't mind. Yeah. I said, So we did it, recorded. I sent it to him. I didn't hear from him for about a month.
Wow.
I was freaking out. Finally, he sent a wonderful, wonderful blob out to the airway saying, I'll give a link where you can read it, because hearing me say it, even I can't believe he said it. He loved it, and I'm so proud of it. And basically what I did was I just stole what he did. I put my own stuff on it, but how can you stray from Bill Evans and Tony Bennett?
Well, my next request is, and you know I got a long list for you.
Oh, okay.
Johnny Hartman, John Coltrane sessions.
Oh.
1963.
Oh, please. I just did a...
You Are Too Beautiful.
Oh, man.
Great tunes. Well, I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe Pat
would agree.
Well, I
just did a thing with Vincent Herring and Gerald Cannon. We did a thing in Smoke, a dedication to Coltrane and Hartman. They were gracious enough to invite me to do it.
Oh, that's...
And we're thinking about doing that.
You're already
next.
There. You're already there.
Well, we'll see.
We're speaking with a marvelous musician, vocalist, composer, producer, guitar player, Alan Harris. More info at alanharris.com. In our next segment, we'll talk about his three concerts coming up here in South Florida. Stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat.
When lonely feelings chill the meadows of your mind, just think if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Beneath the deepest snows, the secret of a rose is merely that it knows you must believe in spring.
That is one gorgeous rendition from his new album, Convergence, with Takana Miyamoto on piano, and that's retilling fertile soil first cut by Bill Evans and Tony Bennett, and a wonderful version, Alan. Just a magnificent recording. But every one of Alan Harris's releases are magnificent. Open Up Your Mind, the original, the Setting the Standard, the Songs of Strayhorn, It's a Wonderful World, Here Comes Alan Harris, and on and on. For more info, go to alanharris.com. New recordings coming up. I want to get to that, because no doubt, you've got something.
I do. I just finished recording with Igor Budman's Russian Big Band Orchestra.
Wow.
And he just got the blessing of Putin, this guy. He's trying to be the Wynton Marsalis of Russia, and I think he's going to be.
Bonafide.
Yeah, for his birthday party at the Kremlin, he had Diana Krall come over, George Benson, Wynton, and all them. So I just did a recording, which will be out late summer with him. We did 14 songs.
And you're going to be doing the Olympics with the Russian orchestra?
Can you believe that? In Sochi, man.
Wow.
I'm going, they're flying me over for about 10 days, and I'm going to perform a couple, eight shows with them.
Mm.
I know.
Hopefully that'll be a recording as well.
I hope so, too, yeah, because we're going to do a few shows prior to that to get tight.
Alan Harris, we're so fortunate to have you and Pat here in South Florida for several concerts coming up. And most immediately, tomorrow night at the wonderful Arts Garage in Delray Beach, an explosion of great events happening there. Who will be in your band?
Well, my band, we just got off a tour, so they're going to be home. They're going to meet me in Arkansas this gig. So I have put a band together under the auspices of Jesse Jones Jr.
Oh, man. Can't do worse than that.
Mike Levine.
Better than that.
Mike Levine and his son.
Oh, great. Mike and Sam Levine.
Right.
Wonderful.
And I'm trying to think who's going to be on bass. And I can't remember the name, and it's terrible for me, is it not?
Jamie Ousley.
Yeah, I think that's it. Hello. That's why you get the big bucks. Matter how is that Maserati doing of yours in the house?
No, that's the other NPR guy. That's the cat in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So that's tomorrow night at the Arts Garage. Mm-hmm. Now, the Arts Garage is going through a little political thing. We ask you to go to their website to determine if you can help them out, artsgarage.com. We hope the best. We hope that the Arts Garage stays in their present location. It's a wonderful location, and they are a huge arts supporter up in Delray Beach. Now, coming up next week, Valentine's Day, February 14th, you go down to South Dade to the beautiful Deering Estate. What history!
I know. I'll be there. I'm going to do the show starts, I think, at 8:30, and I'm excited about it. I'm trying to put an eclectic show together for them. Keep it romantic, but exciting. You know, I don't want to bore them too much. You know, throw some Johnny Hartman, some of my stuff, and just have fun. The show's gonna be fun. You know,
same group.
Same group, and I'm gonna pick up the guitar and just slam it. And it's outdoor venue, so I want people to juke a little bit, and also to fall in love.
Just very briefly, we only have about 4 minutes left with our esteemed guest, Alan Harris. You pick up the guitar in your wonderful show, Cross That River. And how neat for you to take, in my peculiar mind, a left-hand turn and want to do a stage show that concerns a slave escaping from Louisiana, going out west to seek his freedom, and becoming a cowboy. You make me think of Herb Jeffries.
Matter of fact, who Monty Alexander was gracious enough to put me on the phone with Herb Jeffries 6 months ago.
Because he was an actor, a black actor in Hollywood, who played cowboy roles.
That's right. He really was. The Bronze Buckaroo. Called Michelle. Forgot the black guy who did the movies. He was in a bunch of those movies. This black cow on a white horse. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I love it.
I know.
So when you take that show out to California, is Herb still with us? I don't even know.
He's 93. He's still alive in Irvine, California.
You got to bring him out.
Yeah. Ooh, it'd be hard. You know, I would love to. Monty Alexander, as you know, is good friends with him. And he knows, but he loves the show that I'm doing, Cross That River. And he hooked me up on the phone. We talked for an hour, Herb Jeffries and I. It was just a font of knowledge.
He was very kind to us when he came into town about 25 years ago and did interviews for many of us. And what an incredible acting legend and a great voice. Big hit with Flamingo. There you go.
I know.
Your last South Florida gig, I'm sad to say that, is Wednesday, March 6th for the Broward Center, at the Broward Center for the Gold Coast Jazz Society. And they love you. They keep bringing you down, and that is marvelous.
Yes.
You're perfect for them.
Yeah, I'm going to do a tribute to Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
Whole series of Nat King Cole.
And one of your great recordings as well.
Right, Long Live the King. Long Live the King, which I did with some Florida cats, Jim Gaisier, Bob Grabowski.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse Jones.
Oh.
And, I'm bringing my cats down from New York, and they've been rehearsing it, and they're tight. And just a whole evening of Nat King Cole is so many songs, man.
Now, do you go deep into his archive and pull out a tune that not many of us might know? Of course, you might do Route 66.
Right. I do Funny, A Blossom Fell.
Oh, yeah.
I try to do some Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days of Summer.
That was a big hit for him.
Yeah, I know. Never Let Me Go. And I'll Remember You. Oh, yeah, I'm touching on some stuff that those who are more seasoned in your audience, not young like us. What are you, 30 now? I can't remember.
I'm 29 and holding, 29, sir.
Oh, so you're much older than me. I forgot Maserati and all. So we're gonna pull out some gems for those who can recognize it.
Oh, that's marvelous.
March 6th.
That's Wednesday, March 6th for the Gold Coast Jazz Society. They always have such great presentations. Pam over there is doing a wonderful job with their staff. At the Broward Center, that's a great room.
Great room.
For you. Now, I was talking to you and your better half, the lovely Pat, we're talking about the new scene here in South Florida, new not-for-profits, new clubs. There's actually two jazz clubs in downtown Miami. Maybe we'll get you booked at those, huh?
Well, knowing her, she'll pursue that because she books all of my stuff, you know, and I hate to say her name because a lot of musicians try to steal her away from me.
No, that can't happen.
You know, you don't know, man.
That cannot happen.
You know, Brad Pitt wants you to book her, Pat. She's gone. I know it. She's gone. Yeah. Really.
More info at alanharris.com. And once again, the Arts Garage tomorrow night, Saturday, February 9th in Delray Beach. You'll be on Ted Grossman's show, thank you so much, The Night Train, this Sunday from about 8 until midnight. You're going to do a, he's going to give you a vocal test or something. I don't know. Something wild is going on.
Yeah.
Brace yourself.
I'm ready.
The Deering Estates Moonlight and Music Valentine's Day Concert, Thursday, February 14th, and you'll be at the Broward Center Wednesday, March 6th. You better come back from Arkansas.
Oh.
And that's for the Gold
if
Coast
I can't escape. No, I like Arkansas. Let me rephrase that.
Alan Harris, we love you.
Hey.
And long may you swing, sir. You are something special, and thanks for coming on down here and delighting all of us here in South Florida.
Thank you, Ed.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, we'll speak with founder and director Lee Schrager of the Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival. Providing cultural and artistic events for all ages through concerts, literary programs, art exhibitions, lectures, and much more, the Deering Estate Festival of the Arts starts next week on Valentine's Day. Here's Judith Bishop with the details.
We've all heard of the company International Harvester, but we may not know its connection to Miami. The founding family were the Deerings, and the first chairman of the board was Charles Deering, who had a villa in Spain at an estate here in Miami. His former home is a palatial spot, now owned by the state of Florida and Miami-Dade County. It's open to the public and over the years has become a mecca of architectural beauty, fine arts and furnishing, and a perfect spot for cultural performances. It's a fitting evolution, one that would please Charles Deering, who is an avid art collector and philanthropist. Each February, the Deering Estate sponsors a 10-day celebration of literary, visual, and performance arts. Here to tell us all the details is Jennifer Tisthammer, Assistant Director of the Deering Estate. Jennifer, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. Great to have you here. Before we talk about the upcoming Arts Festival, tell us a little bit about the Deering Estate, what it offers, and what it means to Miami.
The Deering Estate at Cutler is one of those wonderful sense of place locations that we have here. It is a 444-acre natural preserve, archaeological site, environmental education center, cultural incubator in many ways that is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. We are adjacent to Biscayne Bay and Biscayne National Park and Biscayne Aquatic Preserve, and actually feature wonderful habitats that are similar to what you would find in our own Everglades National Park. So it's got a lot for pretty much anyone who's interested in going out and spending the day there.
They can also spend the night there on Valentine's night, as we know from Ed's interview with Alan Harris. It sounds great. Picnic under the stars, wine, champagne, a lovely way to spend the holiday. And that's just the beginning of what you're offering in your arts festival. Over the weekend, February 16th, you've planned a very full calendar of events, not only for adults, but also for children. Tell us a little about that agenda.
In general, the Deering Estate Festival of the Arts is now in its sixth year here on the estate. And what we try and do is we feature throughout a two-week time period visual, literary, and performing arts. And that's just the simple description of it. It is an amazing community collaboration. We partner with lots of community art organizations, our local galleries, our local artists, so that on the 16th, that opening day, beginning very early in the morning, we start with our kids' programs, the Book Nook by the Bay, and we work with the kids on developing field study books. We've also got a piano master class. So the Deering Estate year-round hosts a living artist concert series, which is a series of composer-in-residence and guest musicians that work alongside our founding artists of the Living Artist Concert Series, But that opening day, we have in the morning a piano masterclass that's offered by a lot of our founding artists. So you begin to see is that the Festival of the Arts is really an opportunity for us to highlight a year-round type of programming for our community, elevate it and push it forward so that we engage sort of all audiences. Then the evening becomes very spectacular.
Before we move on to the evening, let's talk more about the piano masterclass. That sounds like a terrific opportunity. Are there age requirements, and must one register in advance for a specific time?
Excellent question. We partner with the Greater Miami Youth Symphony in conjunction with the founding artists of our Living Artist Concert Series. So to work with one of the masters that day, you would work through our Greater Miami Youth Symphony. In terms of being able to participate as an audience member and benefit from that type of interaction and instruction, anyone is available. All ages are encouraged, and it's free with general and state admission.
So that's a highlight of the morning and the afternoon, and at evening is a big event. You've got the Speak Now Art Exhibition, which is in some ways part of the heart of your week of events.
It really is. That evening is a series of vignettes or interjections that the artists have on the estate. For those who have been to our opening night in previous years, the sentiment that comes back is that this is not your typical art fair. It turns into an amazing surprise on the estate where, yes, you have some visual exhibits within the houses, sculptural pieces on the main grounds, but there is a very strong literary and performative piece this year. As an example, we've got spontaneous poetry readings by Mia Leonin, who is one of our own artists in residence on the estate, that are going to be done out by our fire circle in the open air. As another example, Carrie Phillips, who is one of our Fountainhead guest artists, part of the Fountainhead residencies, will be with us this evening. And she's created alternative furnishings both inside the house and outside the house. And part of the participatory aspect of her art is that she will be leading guests on a tour of her exhibit and her work.
Your eyes lit up when you said alternative furnishings. Can you give us a hint?
You know what? I could barely give you a hint. And it's just something that you have to go out and see. When you think of a historic house, you think of a snapshot in time, these photos and these images of a period in place. And that's not what this is. And so I think to describe it would be to limit it. I really would encourage for anyone who knows Carrie Phillips as an artist, she is amazingly engaging. And what she's trying to create in this space and through that interaction, our guest then become part of the art that's going on that night.
Now, that's a great tease. And you have another good event. I love the title on this one. It's on Wednesday, February 20th, and it's called Icon of the Moment. It sounds like something Andy Warhol would have loved with his 15 minutes of fame comment. What do you mean by Icon of the Moment?
Part of the Icon of the Moment series is each year we sort of engage some aspect of a literary performance art that has a tie back to the Deering Estate. And so in this case, local filmmaker Bill Belville actually worked on the preface to a very important piece of ecological work called From Eden to Sahara that John Kunkel Small wrote while he was at the Deering Estate. So Charles Deering funded this botanist from New York back in his time. It is a work that has transcended time and is relevant to today. Bill has worked on subsequent publishings of that, but then also has used that as a launching point for his own work. So the study or dialogue that evening brings in conservation, ecology, literature, and history through Bill's eyes in this dialogue and discussion, representing that icon of the moment, John Kunkel Small, past and Bill today.
Classical music is a big part of your festivities, and on Friday evening, February 22nd, the Deering Chamber Ensemble performs. Are they going to focus on one or two composers, or is it a varied program?
Through our Living Artist Concert Series, what we try to do is actually bring in elements of classical music, classical chamber music, and contemporary perspectives. So for this particular evening, the concert will feature guest composer Roberto Sierra from Puerto Rico. And so we're very excited about that. But most of our concerts have a tip of the hat to the past, as well as making it relevant to contemporary context. For anyone who's been to the estate, these concerts take place in our historic ballroom. And so you're sitting under a coffered ceiling in a very intimate setting in front of a Steinway grand piano, engaging in this wonderful chamber music that is unlike anything we get to hear here in South Florida. It is not your traditional concert hall performance. And the composers, the guest artists, and our founding artists who work with us in collaboration on these programs really bring an informative and educational component, so that there's so much of what goes on beyond just the music that are equally as important. You know, Ross, Scott, Laura, and Jose are friends, and they share this music with other friends in the audience. And that's really what is so important about this concert series, is the intimacy of that, you know, musical conversation that you get to have.
And you are going to have a musical conversation as well with a younger generation the next day on February 23rd, where you're going to have a Young Musicians in Competition event.
Each year, and this is so critically important, each year we have the honor to host the Greater Miami Youth Symphony's Concerto Competition, fostering that next generation of emerging artists in our community is so critical to our individual mission, as well as, you know, what makes this community such a rich city. This concerto competition is really taking the best of the best in competition with one another, but everyone is encouraged to attend, support these artists, because the only thing that separates them from, say, the professional musicians out there is just a few years. The talent of these young artists is amazing.
I'm sure you find that everyone's a winner in that competition. But on Sunday night, there are going to be winners and losers, and they're going to be in Hollywood. But something's going on at the Deering Estate, a red carpet event to get us all in the mood for the Oscars.
This is the red carpet wrap-up, which is the closing event for the Deering Estate Festival of the Arts. It's a first time for us this year. You can imagine, with the wonderful setting of the historic houses and an evening under the stars, it just lends itself in many ways to old Hollywood parties on a lavish estate. Now, we have the benefit of bringing in two local performative artists, David Rohn and Danilo De La Torre, Teddy Bear and Adora, who are going to be our guest commentators for this evening. And just to give you kind of a sense of sort of the fun of the evening, we will have a shoe cam that evening. We will also have a shoe check-in, because it's all about the shoes. But the idea is that all of the guests on the estate are part of this performative art piece. Yes, the Oscars and viewing the Oscars is somewhat of the backdrop, but truthfully, it's so that any guest on the estate can have their own red carpet experience. Dress up is encouraged. Old Hollywood 1920s, 1930s attire, you know, some of the starlets for the evening, Charlie Chaplin comes to mind. Or you can do your own interpretation of sort of today's Hollywood there. But whatever your choice, just please come out and share in the Oscar evening with us, because this is a first. This will be fun. It is certainly not to be anything that could be expected from a red carpet experience.
Well, ladies, you are forewarned. Get at those Manolos and those Labutans and have a wonderful, wonderful evening at the Deering Estate. Jennifer Tisthammer, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, too, for bringing us this wonderful week of cultural activities.
Thank you.
The Deering Estate is located on Southwest 72nd Avenue, near 167th. It's in the Palmetto Bay section of Miami. For more information on the Arts Festival and the estate, you can telephone 305-235-1668 or log on to deeringestate.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist and executive producer who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. Welcome back. It's South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you.
Don't roll those eyes at me. Don't kiss me tenderly. Just sit me down and serve me sirloin steak and chocolate cake. Just feed me until I want no more. 'Cause the way to my heart is through my stomach.
One of South Florida's most comprehensive, inviting, and delicious festivals is in our midst, the 12th annual Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival, presented by Food and Wine. To find out about this year's excitement, I recently spoke to founder and director Lee Schrager. And Mr. Lee Schrager, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It must be that time of year. Good to hear from you, Ed.
We're so excited about the 12th annual Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival, presented by Food and Wine. So much to cover, we probably won't get to it all, but let's start right here. As a fundraising event for the FIU Chaplin School of Hospitality and Tourism Management and the Southern Wine and Spirits Beverage Management Center, how much money has been raised over the past 11 years?
To date, just over $17 million. So we hope to get to over $19 million this year. So we're counting on it.
That's probably one of the top fundraising vehicles for any institution here in South Florida, I dare say.
Well, I'd like to think so. And we work hard to raise this money. So we are really thrilled with everything going on at the university.
How are you using that money? What have those funds done for FIU?
Well, I think the newest thing will be the teaching restaurant school that will be open in the spring of this year. So we're really excited about that. It's a beautiful new teaching restaurant school. We'll see about 150 people, brand new kitchen. It's a brand new building, period. And it's kind of, you know, the fruit of our labor. We're going to finally be able to see all these years later something that really came directly from the result of the festival.
I understand FIU is sending their students all over the world, culinary and management students, to China and South America. Tell me about that.
You know, the new dean, Mike Hampton, who I think has been there about 2 years now, is really being incredibly creative in just how he's expanding the program and programs in China and, like you said, Mendoza. So it gives the students an incredible opportunity to learn in these countries, to experience living there and working there. And we just couldn't be more excited that some of the funds of our festival go to support those programs.
What incredible, invaluable opportunities for these students. Now, you are, of course, Vice President of Corporate Communications and National Events for Southern Wine and Spirits of America, and you all have been helping out FIU for decades, I dare say. Tell me about the Southern Wine and Spirits Beverage Management Center.
Well, it's a state-of-the-art beverage management center that opened about 13 years ago, and it really was, at that time, the premier beverage management center in any hospitality school in the country. Of course, 13 years later, there were a few, but I have to tell you, we still keep up. We're still a front runner, and it's still one of the most impressive parts in the program that the hospitality program offers each year. It's very popular, and not only is it popular for the students, but they do a certified wine program, which people, you know, like you and I can take throughout the year. You know, we hear from kids all over the world who want to come to FIU just really to be part of that event management program and be part of the great festival each year.
I'm not surprised whatsoever. Now, tell me about the festival's online auction, which has been ongoing since January 30th, and do the proceeds from that effort support FIU as well?
Everything that we do supports the School of Hospitality Management at FIU, and the online auction, which, as you said, went live just a few weeks ago, has some of the most amazing wine and travel lots I've ever seen. I am personally bidding on three travel lots as we speak, and I am not going to tell you which ones because I don't want to be outbid. I hope people don't see them, but I would encourage everybody to go take a look. I mean, we have trips to Cabo, San Lucas. We have trips to the Turks and Caicos. We have a trip to Paris, a trip to London, one-of-a-kind, unique hands-on experiences, some of the most amazing wines out there today. I will tell you, it's probably one of the most exciting and fun live auctions online I've seen in a long time.
And the Sobey Wine and Food auction goes on until March 6th online at sobeyfest.com/auction.
Even if you can't come to the festival, you can get a little piece of it by experiencing some of the great wines and trips and a lot of prizes from many of our great sponsors.
Now, let's go over the voluminous list of culinary stars appearing at the fest this year, and even a country singer.
even a country singer. Now, who could that be if it's not Loretta Lynn? But it is our own Trisha Yearwood, who has one of my favorite shows on the network. And I tell you, we just couldn't be more thrilled with the response we've had to her brunch on Sunday the 24th at the Lowe's Hotel. Not only is it one of the most fun events of the weekend, but if you look online at SobeyFest.com, the menu is absolutely one of my most favorite menus of that weekend. It's pure Southern comfort food in all its glory.
I was raised eating Southern food, and I got to tell you, it's delicious.
It's a great, great brunch menu.
Now tell me about all the Chopped stars. My wife and I love to watch Chopped.
Well, everybody is down, I have to say, although that's not true. We don't have all the Chopped stars because they're so numerous, but I will tell you that we have Adon Sanchez and Marcus Samuelson and Mark Murphy, and that Chopped show is so incredibly popular.
Great
fun. It never
ceases
to amaze me how popular these talents have become from that show. People just love it, and we did a Chopped event at our New York festival back in the fall, and it sold out immediately, and any event that these talents are at are sold out or it's close to selling out.
Now, we love Guy Fieri. He's our rock and roll chef. He's got that great road and diner show, and he brings it to South Florida, combining it with reggae. Ziggy Marley performing. Wow.
Ziggy Marley performing. He has a line of organic products out that we'll be launching at the festival. And Guy and Ziggy had a friendship long before, you know, I even got involved. And when we approached Ziggy and asked him who he'd like to pair with, he mentioned his guy coming down. And we're like, wow, you know, home run. We have two great, you know, Ziggy, who's an amazing reggae artist, and Guy Fieri, a great Food Network talent and chef. And to pair the two of them and have this amazing island-themed Jamaican party with, you know, Ziggy performing is going to really kill it, and a great way to end the 2013 festival.
That's going to be at the Ritz-Carlton on Sunday, February 24th. Will the room be big enough for everybody who wants to come?
Well, it's actually behind the Ritz-Carlton on the beach.
Very good.
So we have room for a few thousand people.
You're going to need a little more than that,
I think so.
Lee, annually, many, if not most of your shows sell out, and it leaves us wanting more.
There are still some tickets for, you know, the Q on Thursday, February 22nd, which is our big barbecue event on the beach. There are still some tickets for Guy's closing party with Ziggy Marley, still tickets for our Trucks event that Andrew Zimmern is hosting on the 24th in Midtown Miami. So I'd have to say, although it's disappointing that, you know, a lot of our, you know, established events are sold out, there is still, you know, there are still tickets left for a few great events. And, you know, there are pairing seminars and wine seminars that still exist. Our Delta Diamond Dishes at the Marlin Stadium surprisingly still has a few dozen tickets left that I think will go very quickly, with some amazing, amazing female chefs all at a different base at the Marlin Stadium with some great winemakers paired with them. So that dinner should be sold out, but there still are some available right now.
What great chefs are you honoring this year?
We are honoring the great Nobu Matsuhisho at our tribute dinner on Saturday, February 23rd at our headquarter hotel, the Lowe's Miami Beach. And along with Nobu, we're honoring Christophe Navarre, who is the chairman of Moët Hennessy. So you'll be eating some extraordinary Asian-themed food and drinking some pretty spectacular wines from the Moët Hennessy portfolio.
As we wrap it up with Lee Schrager of the 12th Annual Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Fest, presented by Food and Wine, you've got a cross-promotion coming up with the Miami International Film Festival. What's all that about?
Well, for those of you who know me, I am as much as I love wine and food, I love film. So the thought of combining my two passions, food and film, into a series and working with Jay LaPlante, who is the director of the Miami International Film Festival and who was our associate director here in South Beach for a few years, when Jay asked me to pair some of my favorite food films and documentaries with some great chefs and wine, it was hard to resist. So I'll be doing a culinary series that will kick off on Sunday, March 3rd.
I'm sure your book's still selling well.
My anniversary book, the Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival Cookbook, 2 years old, still in reprint, and still selling like hotcakes, and you can still buy them at our festival.
Mr. Lee Schrager, Vice President, Corporate Communications and National Events for Southern Wine and Spirits of America, also the founder and director of the beloved Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival. Thank you so much for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat. All the best of luck to you, sir.
And I'll see you at the Trisha Yearwood brunch, I bet, with your wife.
Sounds
good.
Take care. Once again, for more information about the 12th Annual Food Network South Beach Wine and Food Festival presented by Food and Wine, go online to SobeFest, SobeFest.com, or call 877-762-3933.
Yes, the way to my heart and my stomach.
That's right, the way to my heart is right through the alimentary canal. Don't be giving them sweet words, give me something neat.
There's a free jazz concert at the Coral Gables Museum this Sunday. The museum located at 285 Aragon Avenue in Coral Gables. The museum's Jazz in the Gables series presents the Coral Gables Congregational United Church's Community Arts Program All-Star Jazz Ensemble. And please don't forget about the Miami Jazz Co-op's free Wednesday concerts at noon. And for more info, go to 305-603-8067. Or visit CoralGablesMuseum.org. Free music in downtown Miami tonight starting at 6 p.m. The Downtown Miami Concert Series presents Miami music favorites The Spam All-Stars and Swenelow. And you can go to downtown, that's spelled DWNTWNconcerts.com for more information. That takes place at 6 p.m. in downtown Miami. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributor, Judith Bishop. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to info@WLRN.org. We'd certainly like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and as always, please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.